A few weeks ago on Palm Sunday, as we read Mark's version of the passion and death of Jesus, we heard Jesus' final cry before he died. My God, why have you forsaken me? With these words, Jesus reached the very lowest point of human life, the most terrible of human experiences. Not only had he been abandoned by his friends, not only was he unjustly persecuted by the leaders of his religion and the Roman state, not only was he facing a cruel death, but he cries out in abandonment by God himself, by his heavenly Father. Now, this morning, he stands before us risen. And a question buzzes through the community, not just the community there on that Easter evening, but also the community that Luke wrote his gospel for. Is this a spirit, a ghost, some kind of apparition from another world? Or is it the risen Lord, the one we knew, with whom we ate and talked and traveled up and down Galilee? The question echoes in our own day. Is Easter and the religious faith that finds its roots in the risen Lord simply a spiritual matter? Is it limited to some private realm of my prayer, my personal faults and virtues, my private spiritual life? Or does it touch the whole of life, all of creation in its travail, our woundedness in all of its dimensions? For we are wounded in our personal lives. There are our disappointments, the hurts we carry deep in our hearts, our sicknesses, our many sins and failures. And we are wounded socially as well. The body of Christ in society and throughout creation is wounded today. We don't trust our institutions. We struggle for the truth in a world awash in fake news. The gap between the rich and the poor grows greater. The homeless are all around us. Racism is gaining in strength. The threat of war hangs over the world. We are wounded. The cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Cannot be far from the lips of those caught in refugee camps in the Near East or in Africa, of the homeless on the streets, of those caught in the violence of war, of those caught in the throes of addiction. And the risen Christ stands before us today. And we notice, because Luke works very, very hard to make sure that we notice, Jesus still bears his wounds. This is not some spirit, not some apparition from another world. This is one of us who has shared our story, who has walked with us on life's journey, one who knows and bore our wounds. The great German Reformed theologian Jürgen Moltmann takes those last words of Jesus very seriously. He hears in them a very human cry from the depths of our woundedness, where the Son of God pitched his tent in our midst. But he also knows that Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. And so he claims that in Jesus, our very human cries of struggle are carried into the very heart of God, so that the Father is touched to the core of what it means to be God. And the Father acts to save. He raises Jesus from the dead. He heals the wounds that Jesus bears. He begins to turn human history around and orient us toward the kingdom of God, which Jesus, his Son, preached and worked so hard in his ministry to make a reality. The kingdom where there is justice and reconciliation, peace, and healing for our wounds. So the risen Jesus stands before us this morning, not a ghost or a spirit, not an apparition from beyond, not a mystical experience in my private spiritual life. He is one of us, wounded but made whole. We stare in wonder not at a heavenly spirit, but at our future. He is still part of us. And so he eats with his disciples, asking them, and they give him just a little piece of baked fish. He gathers the wounded to himself as he did so throughout his life. He is still a part of the human story. He is part of us, and we are part of him. Now he gathers us around the table to heal, to forgive, to bind up our wounds. And he sends us out with the gospel message to do the same. He sends us out to walk with him into that future.